my good brother. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You got two big jobs ahead of you. I mean, you got two big jobs ahead of you. You not only have a job to fill your book, but you got a mighty, mighty big job to fill that man's shoes. And I don't know. What you could do to put a log chain on him and tie him down, but I don't guess that's possible. But I'm going to promise you right now, you got a mighty big job, and that is to fill the shoes of this fine young man who has so ably. Tell you what, I don't know where I've got all my reports from about Southern California, but praise God, I tell you, you kind of got me spoiled. I think I'm going to move whether you want me or not. I might just be on your doorstep to sit in the pew if I can't do anything else. Praise God, I could come and get charged up like this about once a week, and you can't live for God under this kind of an atmosphere. There, you're dead, man. You're just dead. 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 My, I have thoroughly enjoyed this meeting, and this is a wonderful characteristic about Pentecostal people and Pentecostal gatherings. You notice how we can just shift gears and just, we can go one speed a while and it doesn't strip our gears. We can just shift the other direction and go just as hard in the other direction and slower down and still feel the presence and the touch of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I have certainly enjoyed this presentation this evening, and I'm sure that at the conclusion of the service you would want to do your very best to extend a warm welcome and rather a friendly handshake and farewell at the conclusion of the service to our brother. And I'm sure that whatever you've done for him this evening by way of financial remuneration, you haven't done half as much as he's value of, and you recognize that, I'm sure. Well, so much for that. It's come time this evening for us to again look to God's Word. We appreciate it so much, the sense of God's presence that we was recognized this morning and again tonight. It's good to see people that go to church twice on Sunday. I think you're to be commended. I was jesting with the deacons tonight, and I seen two or three of them. I said, well, we got deacons that go to church twice on Sunday. We not only got deacons, we got a lot of other people that go to church twice on Sunday here in Covina. And that's great. God bless you for your faithfulness to the house of God. We appreciate the fine ministry this evening by these fine young people in the choir and the adult choir. Now it comes time again to look to God's Word. I had prayed that God might help me and allow me to preach about heaven tonight. Because I'll tell you right now, when the blessing of the Lord comes and the Spirit of God begins to move, I feel like going there. Praise God. And I'd like to, but I just couldn't feel free to do that this evening. But I am going to address my remarks to the unsaved tonight and trust that God will help us to be able to reach some soul in the simple gospel truth that we want to present to you tonight. Praise God. I've received a lot of advice over the years that I have been preaching. I received some again tonight from my family, particularly my daughter telling me about the length of my sermon. But I tell you what, an old preacher told me one time when I first started in the ministry. He said, young man, if there's one thing I could tell you, it would be this, a lesson that you need to learn. Just preach till you get through and then sit down. So I don't know, he didn't say long or short. He just said, preach till you get through. But I guess it's something in knowing when you're through. And somebody else told me that a sermon didn't have to be eternal to be immortal. So however the Lord may direct us this evening, we will appreciate it. You have been sitting for a while. Let us stand together, shall we, for just a further word of prayer before we look into God's Word tonight. If you have your Bibles and you would like to follow me this evening in the reading of just one verse of Scripture, you may keep your Bible open if you'd like to refer to this verse in a few moments as we read it together. Luke chapter 20 and verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Let us read it again. Get it firmly fixed in your mind as we begin to comment upon this verse tonight. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Father, add thy blessing to the minister of thy word. Give us a fresh touch of God, a new anointing of thy Holy Spirit as we speak forth this word of truth tonight. Grant that the spirit of conviction shall grip the heart of the sinner, of the backslider, and bring them to God, we pray, in this hour and for thy glory. Amen. And you may be seated. In this text that I have chosen tonight, we are given two alternatives. We can choose to be broken, or we can choose to be crushed. Speaking of himself as the stone which the builders rejected, yet which became the head of the corner, Jesus uttered these words, "And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Every man's destiny is determined by his decision regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether he chooses to be broken or chooses to be crushed. The most significant question of all ages was asked by our Lord Jesus Christ himself when he asked, "What think ye of Christ?" And this, my friend, and this alone is the issue for this hour and for this day. Opinions on other subjects are not of infinite importance. You are not deciding between heaven and hell when you express your feeling concerning the war in Vietnam. Neither are you writing your name in heaven when you choose to associate yourself or to affiliate yourself with a particular church or denomination on earth or not. One of the tragedies of this day is that many are equating church relationship or church membership with salvation. I firmly believe that you ought to belong to a church. You ought to associate yourself with a church. You ought to be a part of a fellowship. But the church is not the stone that breaks or crushes. Jesus is that stone. So, what think ye of Christ tonight? What is your opinion concerning this man? Now, you can ignore him in this day, but in doing so, you're only trying to ignore the day of judgment. But you're going to stand before him in that day, and what are you going to say when that hour breaks upon you? This is the world for hearing, and this is the day for responding to the question of what think ye of Christ. This is the day, and this is the hour to be broken, and whosoever shall fall upon that stone, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be broken. And this breaking process is not the result of some divine decree. Rather, it's the result because of a human necessity. Every one of us need to have the experience of casting ourselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ and of being broken. Can you say amen? Amen. We were made in God's image. We were not created sinners. But sin has entered into mankind, and whereby one man sin and death is passed upon all men. Therefore, every one of us has a dual personality. We have two natures, a heavenly one and an earthly one. Neither will surrender to the other. No, but no man has sunk so low into sin, but what he cannot hear, that inner voice calling him to a new life and to a higher life. Then he has lived in this world of sin. Now man may try to silence this thing that we call conscience, but even with a weak voice, it still continues to get its message across to us. We can try to bind it, and we can try to gag it, but it'll continue to struggle to get its message through. It's part of the divine nature that God has breathed into you and I, this matter of conscience. And on the other hand, we find that there is no man that has been able to rise so high in spiritual experience, but what he has not been made to realize that there's something within him at the same time that tries to pull him backward and tries to pull him down. The greatest of all saints, the Apostle Paul, speaks about this struggle in Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 as he speaks about the warfare that is continually raging within the bosom of every man, so that he would want to do that which is right. Something within him pulls him back. There is that continual struggle that is going on within the breast of every one of us. So man seemingly has a dual nature. He seems to drive the desire in one direction, and yet something within him pulls him in the opposite direction. As at times he feels necessary and important that he would go and present himself to a doctor, to a psychologist, psychiatrist, to be able to try to answer the conflict and the turmoil that is raging within his mind and that is raging within his soul. Yet at the same time, we recognize that sometimes the pressures of life, sometimes the burdens of life begin to build, and they begin to build, and they begin to build, and it seems as if they're about to explode when the conflict becomes so great. Desiring to do one thing, recognizing that God calls us to a higher life, and yet we continue on in this low strata, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind and of the things of this world. So sometimes, because of the pressure that is placed upon us by the enemy of our soul, then we find men coming to the point they don't know which way to go, and they don't know what to do with themselves. So they go to the psychiatrist, and he recognizes that this is a tension that is built up within them. He's trying to answer from a human standpoint. He's trying to answer from a human view. He can't give you the answer to the conflict, to the struggle, to the burden of sin that rests upon your guilty conscience and upon your heart tonight, my sinner friend. But the psychologist says, well, I tell you what, you're living under pressure. What you need to do is to quit holding yourself back. You need to just give vent to your feeling and just let yourself go. And that's exactly what the world is doing in this hour, letting themselves go. They're letting themselves go in dissipation, letting themselves go in sin, throwing off all the old restraints. And when you see the spirit of rebellion everywhere, it's because man is allowing himself to do anything and everything to gratify the desires and the appetites of the flesh. But this is not meeting the need of the man. This is not meeting your heart tonight, young man, young woman, boys or girls, teenagers. You have not been able to find real satisfaction in the dissipation of your life and are yielding to the old Adamic natures and sin. This hasn't really satisfied you, and you know it hasn't. And it can never satisfy. Oh, the younger generation sometimes is seen to let themselves go and feeling that this is going to be some means to be able to quiet the conscience that is there, ripping out and throwing back at every form of the establishment. But no, that doesn't answer the question. None of these things offer you real salvation. But we find sometimes people that have gone in this direction have finally come to the place where it's an overdose of drugs or it's a leap out of a 10-story window, because the answer has not been found in the world. And you can't find the answer in the world. Jesus, and Jesus only, is the solution to every man's pent-up feelings and frustrations and tensions that have been caused by sin. But you see, the plan of God is so simple, and the plan of God is not complicated as we want it to become. The answer is simply in my text tonight. Jesus said, you need to cast yourself upon the stone and be broken. Be broken. Be broken. Oh, some are breaking, all right. Look about us in the world. Read your daily newspapers, and people are breaking, all right. They're breaking down. The cares and the struggles and the frustrations of life have become more than they can bear, and they're breaking down. At least they sometimes will be honest with us, and they'll admit that they are incapable of going any further, and they can't go on, can't live with this kind of life. And they'll say, I've not been able to find the answer. And they surrender to the conflict, and they break down. While there are others, we find, that are breaking out and lashing out. They're savagely lashing out at everyone and everything that gives the appearance of adding to their inner struggle. And they kill, and they lie, and they steal, and they hurt, and they insult, and they fight. And their attitude is that they have to turn against everybody. They don't recognize that the problem is not out there somewhere. The problem is right in here. But they're breaking out. Breaking out. Everywhere you turn, you see this happening. But I say, thank God, there are still some that are breaking through. There are some that are breaking through to a new life. I can see them. I have seen them. You have too. Individuals who recognize that the struggle is just more than they can take. They will admit that the tensions is more than they can bear. And they feel this pressure building up within them. But rather than giving up and breaking down, or rather than blaming others and breaking out, they're coming God's way. And they're making the way to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking at the person of his son, and they're breaking through to new light. And to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So as we see these people who come kneeling in prayer, praying the penitent sinner's prayer, desiring to be able to cast themselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him as their strength and as their help, this individual is thoroughly conscious that there is nothing good within him. The battle has been going on so long, he knows that he's a sinner. He doesn't need anybody to tell him that he's on the wrong road. No, sir. He finally recognizes, though, that his enemy is not out there somewhere. His enemy is right here. It's the devil, and it's sin, and it's Satan. That's the real enemy of our soul. All of a sudden, things begin to take on a new look. And he kneels solemnly at an altar of repentance somewhere. He kneels thoughtfully, begins to talk to God. He knows what he's doing. He's reached the end of his rope. This is his last resort. This is the last hope. No one has to tell him he's a sinner. He feels the condemnation in his heart and begins to talk to God about it. He begins to tell God about it. And in genuine sorrow, he reaches up to God and he says, Lord, have mercy upon my poor lost soul. All of a sudden, as he begins to make this kind of a plea, he recognizes that he doesn't deserve anything that's good. He recognizes that all he deserves is judgment and the wrath of God. But in that moment when he sees himself as he really is, he pours out his soul in his prayer. He begins to break before God. He sees Calvary. He sees God's love. He sees God's provision. He sees God's mercy. And he casts himself upon that stone. And he lifts his heart to God. And all of a sudden, the miraculous takes place, that which we cannot understand, nor comprehend, nor explain, when you cast yourself upon that stone. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, the glory of heaven breaks through in your heart. And all of a sudden, you become conscious of the fact that you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because you have thrown yourself, and you cast yourself upon the stone, that stone being the Lord Jesus Christ. As Lord and Master, have you found him tonight? Say praise the Lord if you have. Are you glad tonight that he's still available? Thank God, I'm glad to tell you that he is. And now, all of a sudden, in that hour, you hear the tender voice of the Lord. And the Lord speaks and says, you are forgiven. Oh, and he sobs and he cries. Oh, but that's not like that old wicked, hardened sinner to sob and cry. It'll do you good. It'll do you good. Sure it will, to be broken before God. And he sobs and he weeps and he cries, tears of joy. And a puddle of tears is soon formed before him. And all of a sudden there is that what's flooding over his heart, spirit and soul, the consciousness of the fact that Jesus has become Lord and Jesus has become master in his life. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you tonight, my sinner friend, Those of you who have allowed the tensions and the frustrations of this life to build up within you, I challenge you tonight to cast yourself upon that stone. Throw yourself upon that rock. Dare to be willing to be broken before God. Dare to be willing to shed some penitent tears and acknowledge your need. But if you fail to, the stone is going to fall on you. Did you notice the text? Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. That's your first alternative tonight. Cast yourself upon the stone, Christ Jesus, and be broken. But if you do not cast yourself upon the stone, whomsoever it shall fall will grind him to powder. I conclude with a very serious note tonight, my friend, as I speak to you about the impending wrath and judgment of God upon every Christ rejecter and upon every man that fails to cast himself upon that stone. For the day is coming, sir, and you will be without an excuse as you stand before God. And you, my lady friend, with all of your snobbishness, is going to have no excuse when you stand before God in that day. Right. And you're going to lose all of your dignity as you stand before God in that day and face the one seated upon the throne. There's going to be absolutely no hiding place. And you're going to stand before God, and you're going to stand there alone. Young people, mama, dad's not going to be there to shelter you in that hour. Ungodly husband that's been depending upon your wife's faithful prayers all of these years, she's not going to be there to excuse you as to why you aren't serving God. Rebellious children tonight that have ignored the prayers of a mother and a faithful pastor and Sunday school workers, they're not going to be there.
That's right.
You're going to stand before God, and you're going to stand there all alone. Amen. As you stand there recognizing that you see the stone that's come rolling out of the mountain in that day, that's going to grind you to powder. In that day, all of the veneer is going to be broken off and cast aside. And you're going to be revealed for what you really are.
Right.
Not what people think about you or what you pretend to be. You're going to be revealed for what you really are.
Right.
And as you stand before God in that day, with all of your excuses, they're going to stick in your throat because you're not going to be able to offer them in that hour. It's going to be a solemn day. It's going to be a solemn hour. Yes, sir, my brother. You talk about crying. You're going to cry.
Right.
You can either cast yourself upon the stone today and be broken and cry and penitent tears, or you can wait till the stone begins to crush you and cry for the rocks to fall upon you and for the mountains to hide you.
Help
me. Of compassion for you, and it's going to be too late in that day. Well, yeah, you're going to cry. You're going to cry, all right. But it's going to be too late. Oh, God, bring us before you. Oh, God, help us in this hour to seize upon the opportunity to cast ourselves upon the stone now, that we will not have the stone to fall upon us in that day of judgment. For the same Christ that offers forgiveness today is going to be the Christ that's going to speak in justice for you on the morrow. Listen to the words of the Lord, or rather the word of God, where it says, "Behold, I have called and ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my reproof and all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh."
Right.
Oh, but you say, and God of love is going to treat men like that? How could a God of love refuse to accept men in that day? That's not the thing that bothers me. The thing that bothers me, how can you reject God in His love for you today? How can you? How can you ignore Him? How can you refuse Him? You criticize His church, make light of His people, spurn His gospel, cast His love aside. There's going to be no excuse, because He has given you the opportunity of throwing and casting yourself upon the stone today. In love and mercy and tenderness, He reaches out to you now. But in that day, you're going to have to give an account of this life. However, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Even now the voice of thy God would speak to thine heart. Surrender thyself unto the Lord. Yield thy heart and thy life unto Him. Fortune of the day is nigh at hand when you shall stand before Him. Even now all the Spirit and loving words will persuade you and woo you unto Himself. Harden not your hearts as they did in the days of provocation, but surrender and submit thyself unto thy Lord in this hour, and yea, He shall have mercy upon you.
Thank God.
Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. While our choir is preparing an invitational hymn, and what further words I was going to say will remain unsaid, while our hearts are bowed in His presence now, and our eyes are bowed in His presence, and we yield it before God. My friend, this is very serious business. You had a point of decision in your life tonight. You are faced with two alternatives: that of being broken or that of being crushed. Tomorrow you may be in eternity. And if you're in eternity tomorrow, you're going to be pointed back to this day, to this night, and you're going to hear the record of your decision made in this meeting tonight. The world by wisdom knew not God. God's law says break or be broken. The world in human wisdom says resist. Go your own way. Who are you going to listen to tonight? The foolishness of preaching the cross.
My God.
But all the wisdom of being able to accept this message. Sing a verse, if you will, of an invitational hymn, while our heads are bowed in His presence. Spirit of God, move in upon this congregation now, oh God. We know not the condition of these hearts, every one of them, but Thou dost know. You see every sinner. You see every backslider. You know the need of every heart. Make this a red letter day in these lives tonight, we pray. Looking again tonight, looking for a need, looking for someone to acknowledge your need and say, Brother Schultz, tonight I recognize that I am being faced with this alternative. I want to come tonight and cast myself upon this stone, Jesus Christ. I don't want to wait till the day when it's going to crush me. I'm looking for a hand to be lifted tonight, saying, yes, Brother Schultz, I need God. Boys and girls, you need God tonight. Boys and girls, you need God tonight. Teenagers, you need God tonight. Mothers and dads all over this congregation, adults, you need God. Just a moment, I'm waiting. Someone lift a hand quickly and say, yes. This evening, I feel God talking to my heart.